We're in this series. I love this series. Super important for us because boot camp is an essential part of the process that prepares recruits in the military. Boot camp is this process that transforms civilians into soldiers, if you think about it. It provides a structure and an environment that develop physical, emotional, and psychological strength that is needed by recruits and by soldiers. It takes these young people from a culture that values individualism and they value self-preservation and personal rights and forms them into warriors that are willing to sacrifice for the betterment of others, for the betterment of people that they don't even know, for the betterment of a country. So when you think about what it takes young people from and what it produces, it's quite a transformation. Boot camp prepares the recruits for new lives, new roles, new standards, and new purpose. The same is true in this idea of boot camp being a great venue and a great opportunity for us as Christ followers. I said it last week. I'll say it again and again. I wish that the church could make people do what they don't want to do, like military can make people do what they don't want to do. If they don't want to repel, so what? You're doing it anyway. If you don't want to go into the gas chamber, so what? You're doing it anyway. Because here's the thing, in church, in the military, what it does is it gives them confidence. It shows them that what they're afraid of, they don't have to be afraid of. And it shows them that what they don't think they can do, they actually can do. And it's the same with us as Christ followers. What we say is, you know what, that's not my gift. I'm not good at sharing my faith. And I'm not good at doing this. And I'm not good at serving there. And you know what? We just do that because we are afraid and because we are self-absorbed. And we need an environment that really forces us to be what we think we are incapable of being. That's why this boot camp idea is just such a great thing. Now, you know what? If we did that, half of you would probably stop coming to church. So you find another one. But the idea of having boot camp and having this training is super important for us so that we understand that we can actually do and be a part of the life that God has designed for us to live. See, as Christ followers, here's what Jesus said. He said that Jesus told us that tough times are ahead. Not they might happen, not that they could happen. Tough times are definitely ahead. He says, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart because I've conquered the world. And that should provide peace, it should provide hope, and it should provide comfort to remind us that you're not in this alone and that God is with you. And not only that, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is an important scripture for every Christ follower to know. Hardships, troubles, difficulties are a part of our spiritual development. They develop the faith that we need to walk with Christ for a long, long period of time. What our world is going through, even right now with this whole COVID-19 issue, is a hardship. It's an inconvenience. I mean, you know what? There are some elements that cause fear for some. And here's the thing. It is a difficulty, but it can be something that develops our faith if we allow it. When we take fear and we say, you know what, I'm not going to give in to fear, I'm going to use faith. In light of what I feel, I'm not going to restrict this, I'm going to trust God in this. That makes us what God wants us to be. You might look at it this way, tough times can transform us. Tough times can transform us. And I say they can, quote, because nothing changes us if we don't want to be changed. The military creates these tough times that are a part of, and that tough times are a part of the process that equips and prepares the soldier for combat. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says this, that we are to endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul knew something that a young Timothy did not know. And he says, listen, the hardships that are here are designed to help you to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Difficulties are opportunities to become the soldier that we need to be, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it prepares us for one thing, and boot camp equips you to engage in the battle. Boot camp will equip you to engage in the battle. Every recruit in the military is trained for the battle, because regardless of what job it is that you might have in the military, first and foremost, you are a soldier. First and foremost, you are equipped and prepared to fight in a battle. You will have a job, but you're not there for a job. You are there for the battle. This is important. As Christians, we have a lot in common with a soldier. I don't want to rush through this series. I don't want to rush through even this part. So I'm going to park here for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to look at this so we can give it the time that it definitely needs. We look at soldiers that display great courage in the battle, and we say things like, you know what, there's no way I could do that. But remember, they've been trained. They've gone through the hardship. They've endured. They've gone through something that has equipped and prepared them for the battle. We look at people in the Bible and we go, man, I could never be like Moses. I couldn't be like Abraham. I couldn't be like Job. I couldn't be like Paul or Peter or whoever. You have to understand, they went through the hardships, and the hardships produced in them something that gave them courage and strength that they needed for the battle that they're in. They have been forced to do something that most people are not willing to do. Even in the military, most of the people that are in military have been forced to do something that others are not forced to do. They have been forced to face death. They know that they could die. They know that their life is on the line. In fact, many of them will write death letters. Many of them will write just-in-case letters to family members. And here's why that produces courage. Why that produces courage is because this: when you face death, you're not afraid to live. When you've actually looked death in the eye, when you've actually come to the realization that you could die, then you're not afraid to actually do what you're supposed to do and live like you're supposed to live. As Christians, our courage increases when we're not afraid of failing, when we're not afraid of how we look or what others think, when we're not thinking of what we stand to lose. And I think what happens is a lot of Christians are afraid to live the life that God has called them to live. We might even fear the battle because we've not died to ourselves. We've not faced death as God calls us to. This, my old self has been crucified with Christ. In other words, my old self, my old life has died and been nailed to the cross with Jesus. It's dead. He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, hey, the life that I now live, I'm able to live what God has asked me to live because I've already died to myself. I've already died. I don't care what people think. I don't care what other people say. I don't care how I look. I don't care about failing. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. See, when you have faced death, you're not afraid to live. When we accept that our lives are no longer belong to us, it gives us courage to live the new life that God calls us to. And we find strength in Jesus, and we trust in him. And we need that for what we're looking at today. Because the truth is that every soldier needs protection. And here's a scripture we're looking at. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I mean, when you read that, it seems a little bit dark sometimes. It might even seem a little bit ominous. It might even feel a bit mysterious when you realize this important truth, and that is you are in a battle. You are in a battle. You might say, oh, I didn't sign up for a battle. I didn't even ask you if you signed up. You didn't sign up for something, but you are definitely in a battle. This is for real. Satan has a plan. You are in his crosshairs. He plays for keeps. This is not a joke for him. This is not something that he goes, you know what, we'll get to. This is something that he is committed to. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert, be watchful, pay attention. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a kitten. No. He prowls around like a howling dog. No. He prowls around like a kicking kangaroo or a cow. No. Like a roaring lion. Intimidating and serious and committed to killing. And he's always looking for someone to devour. And you might be thinking, hey, you know what? I'm just trying to follow Jesus. I want to mind my own business. And the truth is, the life of a Christ follower is a battleground, not a playground. And I believe nowhere else like in America do we find this dilemma and this lie that is bought into. But here in America, it seems like we want to follow Jesus because, hey, he makes everything great and it's fun. And you know what? He's going to make my life better and everything's going to be great. And that's not what the Bible says. The life of a Christ follower is a battleground. So when we step across the line with God, when you surrender your life to him, when we say, hey, God, I'm all in, when we say, God, I am completely yours, you have chosen a side. Mark my words, you've chosen a side. You might say, hey, I didn't sign up for a battle, but when you say, God, I'm all in, hey, I'm raising my hand, Dave, I'm all in. I want a relationship with you. When you do that, you've chosen a side. In Colossians, it says, for God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. You were a part of one kingdom, and you were rescued and purchased and put into another kingdom. And when that happens, Satan takes notice. There is absolutely no middle ground. You're in or you're out. You're with him or against him. And what it does is it puts us right in the middle of this battle, so we need to understand the rules of war and the rules of battle that we are engaged in. Every single one of us. And here's the first rule of war that we need to pay attention, and that is, this isn't about avoiding the battle, but standing in it. This is not about avoiding the battle. You cannot avoid the battle. And if you're running from the battle, you're not fighting the battle. You're cowarding in the battle. As a Christian, this is not about how we avoid pain or how we avoid hardship, no. Or how we feel necessarily with what's going on in our lives and how it affects us. There's a lot of people, and you might even feel it yourself, you might feel like you've been beat down. You might feel like you've been taking shots. You might feel like you are under attack. You might have even said things like, man, when it rains, it pours. Or you might have said something like, you know what, I can't seem to catch a break. And Paul's saying, you can't catch a break because you're in a battle. You are in a war. And because you're in this war, you need to learn how to stand. If you and I don't learn how to stand, we will not be able to stand. We can't go into a battle and say, oh, you know what, if God wills it, I'll be okay. And if God doesn't will it, that's not how God says that we function. God says that he has given us the necessary armor that is going to protect us for the battle that you absolutely are engaged in. Here's another rule of war, and that's this. If you don't know you're in the battle, you've already lost. If you don't realize that you are in a battle, you are already losing in the battle. You know this, but the best time to take an enemy out is when they're unprepared. When they're not engaged in the battle, when they're doing something else besides the battle, that's when you take an enemy out. When they're distracted. I think that the church worldwide, you know, we do a pretty good job for the most part of telling people just how much God loves them, and you know that God's going to give them a new purpose and God has a new plan and he is willing to forgive them, and which is all true and it's all necessary and it's all important. When you surrender your lives to God, he gives you a brand new identity. We talked about that last week. But we do, as a church, not just the Quest, the worldwide church, I really believe, we do a really lousy job at explaining that when you choose Jesus, you become one of the most hated people in this world. You become marked as an enemy. Your life doesn't get easier. It might even get tougher. When you raise your hand, when you say again, God, I'm all in, and you choose to follow Jesus in water, choose to be obedient, and I choose to follow Christ, Satan takes notice. You get on his most wanted list. Not only will he hate you, he will do all he can to destroy you and those you love. You have to understand that. You have to not just think, I wonder. No, you have to know this is a part of the scheme of the enemy. And that's what Paul's saying. We are not ignorant to Satan's devices, his schemes, his plans, his tactics. We're smarter than that. We know. In 1 John 5:19, it says that we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And you might say, oh, Dave, God's in control of all things. Listen, this world belongs to Satan. He is the prince of this world. God answers prayer, absolutely. But Satan is in charge. This is his domain, is what the scripture says. This world is his domain. So when you think about us living in this world, that's why Jesus prayed for our protection. That's why Jesus prayed that we would not. That's why Jesus told Peter, hey, Satan wants to sift you. He wants to torment you. He wants to destroy you. This is his domain. And we live in a world that's controlled by our enemy. And if we don't pay attention, we've already lost the battle that we're in. Here's another rule of war. If we don't know our enemy, we're already defeated. We read this earlier, but it says to watch out for your great enemy, the devil, is the one who prowls around like a roaring lion. In the military, before you're deployed, before you set foot on foreign soil, you already know your enemy. You know their tactics. You know where they are. You know who they are. You know how they operate. And that is, this is what Paul's doing for us as Christians. He's helping us identify the enemy that is against us. When he says this, he says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. This is on another dimension. This is not what you can see with these eyes. This is a spiritual battle in a spiritual realm that is directed at you. That's why it must be fought in faith. It must be fought by God. It must be fought with us engaged. And if we, just because we don't see it with these eyes, we think, oh, you know what? It's not real. Your enemy is not your ex-spouse. Your enemy is not your business partner that stabbed you in the back, or a friend that betrayed you, or someone at work that makes your life miserable. Your enemy is not people. See, and the reason I say it is because the amount of anger that we have towards people would indicate that they are the enemy. But in fact, what really happens is the attitudes that we have towards people becomes a tactic and a device that the enemy uses against us, because the attitudes that we allow undermine our faith, and then he uses it against you. And he says, you're not a Christian. Because Jesus said, you can't do this. He says, put away anger. You can't be put away anger. You're not a Christian. When people make you mad, when you start looking at others and they become the enemy, we start playing into the hand of Satan himself. Where is Satan at work? A lot of people think that Satan is only at work in the evil of killing and drugs and abortion and addictions and gang violence and that kind of thing that we see. But we need to understand something I think really important. I think Satan's greatest tactics, his greatest schemes are in discouragement, distractions, anger, hopelessness, fear, like this COVID-19 issue, telling you that God can't protect you, telling you that you need to worry about this, you need to take this serious because could end everything. I think Satan distracts us, and he gives us excuses, and he brings up excuses and attitudes, and he encourages disobedience to God. And we say things like, oh, you know what? It's not a big deal. You know, I don't need to. God understands. We can sleep together if we're not married. It's no big deal. And we start buying into the lie. We start saying, hey, you know, it's okay. That's a part of the battle that we're in, and we just kind of fall right into it. Satan is going to lie to you. He's not always going to tempt us with evil. He tempts us with attitudes. And he tells us that things that are not important are important and things that are important are not important. He understands the power of a husband and wife that are united in as one. He understands that when homes are strong, then churches are strong. And when churches are strong, then communities are strong. And when communities are strong, nations are strong. And he knows that that is dangerous in our world. That threatens his kingdom. He understands that a person that is holding on to God, a person that is salt and light in this world, a person that prays, a person that lives a life that is obedient, that's a dangerous person because it threatens Satan's kingdom. And he understands that. So it's important, another rule of war, we got to understand, we got to know our king and who we fight with. This is not a battle we fight on our own strength. It's not a battle that we fight with our own abilities. It's not something that we deal with willpower. Paul said that we're to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not our power, not our abilities, not our strength. God says, I'm going to give you all that you need for this battle because you're in a battle, because you have a crafty enemy. Therefore, Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And he says to put on the full armor, as if to say not half of it, not parts of it, not bits and pieces, but everything, so that you're actually lacking nothing. You are completely protected. He says, when the day of evil comes, not if the day of evil comes, but when it comes, because it's coming, and because you're going to go through it, because you're going to experience it, you need to be prepared and protected. When you read this, I think it's important for us to understand something really important. Paul's not trying to turn us into Roman soldiers by talking about the Roman apparel that we're looking at in this as the armor of God. Paul is writing this from a Roman prison. And Paul's sitting in prison, and every day he's guarded by Roman soldiers. And in that world, Roman military, they were the best of the best. You can see them there. They were the best of the best. They were the baddest of the bad, the strongest of the strong. They walked around as invincible agents of war, and that is exactly who they were. They were to be feared and respected, and they demanded it and commanded it just with their presence. They had the best of the best equipment. And Paul is looking at this great military gear and this equipment of that time, and he's saying, Christian, fellow soldier, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. He says, our Heavenly Father has given us the very best of the best in armor that is to protect us in this battle that we're in and the fight that you are in. So I don't want us to look at the Roman gear. I want us to look at the best of the best. And even in today's world, the armor that we have, the equipment that our military uses, is better way by far than what they had. I'd much rather carry an M16 than a sword. I'd much rather have a bulletproof vest on in the front and the back than that. Not because that's bad, but because it's inferior to what we have today. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, you have at your disposal in this spiritual battle, you have the best of the best. He says, stand firm then by fastening the belt of truth around your waist. See, in our day and time, Paul's saying, you have a belt that's going to carry your essential gear. In Roman days, they had the belt and it carried their essential gear. It had a hook on it and this loop on it that carried their sword. If they didn't have the belt on, it had no place for their sword. The belt kind of held their breastplate down. It held it in place, and everything that was essential was on this belt. And even in today's world, even more so, the belt carries everything. It has a strap that carries a handgun. It carries ammunition. It carries supplies all the way around the individual. This belt is going to give you what you need when you need it, when you're in the battle. It's not just a belt. It's what the belt represents, and the belt is truth. We have to understand that. It's not about putting a belt on. It's about putting truth on. And I started thinking, what is the opposite of truth? Why do we need truth? Because the opposite of truth is lies and falsehood. And the belt of truth, or truth in and of itself, is the only thing that can fight against the falsehood and the lies of the enemy. Revelation 12 reminds us that it identifies Satan as the accuser of the brother and sister. In other words, he brings up your past. He brings up your failures. He brings up how you've messed up. He brings up thoughts that you've had. He tells you that you're not cut out for this. He tells you it doesn't matter how much you go to church. You can't do this. He calls you a hypocrite because you come to church, but you're not living like you should. He's going to accuse you of every mistake that you made, not understanding. He understands that you're covered in grace. He understands that God's mercy is there. He understands that you don't have to be fearful, but he's going to use these lies against you because he is an accuser of the brethren. And so what he tells you is you're not forgiven. He says you don't count. He says you can't do what God's asking you to do. He says you're not really saved. He says, remember what you did last week? Remember what you did last night? He says that God really doesn't love you, because if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through this hardship. You wouldn't be going through this difficult time. You wouldn't be here where you're at. If God really loved you, he would protect you and everything would be great. But you just go ahead and keep telling yourself that God loves you. You know he doesn't. Satan is a god of falsehood. Jesus said this about him. He says that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. and we live in this world that's controlled by him. And he's trying to get us to believe his lies. He's going to tell you that this world is about you, that you need to get all that you can get. Your value is in how much you make and in the kind of car you drive and the kind of house you drive. Nobody's going to look out for you but you. Don't waste your money and invest it in church. Don't waste your money and invest it in the kingdom of God, because you don't know how they're spending your money. And we just start believing the lie. We just start believing it. You know what I mean? Not all of it. We just believe little bits of it. Yeah, that's true. You know, I never thought about that. I always wondered about that. You're right. I can't afford to give. He says things like, yeah, you don't, whatever you do, don't read the Bible. You don't have time to read the Bible. And plus that, when you read it, you don't understand it and it puts you to sleep. Don't even try. And you're like, oh man, that's right. I don't have time for that. We just start bits and pieces. We start buying this lie. Start believing that this life is all that there is. It's all that matters. Pursue the American dream. Forget about the kingdom dream. And here's the thing. We start pursuing what is temporary, not what is eternal. If you want strength in your life, if you want strength for the battle that you are in, you have to run everything through truth. Not something that is relative, but everything through the truth of God, his word. When God says this, it has to be the filter that we run everything through. We take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. It is our filter so that we no longer believe the lies of the enemy. Do me a favor and have a seat for just a moment. I want to wrap up our... There's absolutely no reason to fear in this war, because God is with us and he's given us everything that we need. Everything that you need for the battle that you're in. He doesn't throw you out there as bait. He doesn't throw you out there to fend for yourself. He goes before you. He's there with you to fight. The strength that we need, he provides. And the armor that we have to have, he gives. So as we look at this belt of truth, as the first element that we need in our lives, there's some things we need to stop doing, possibly. And the first one is this: stop living a lie. Satan might be telling you that it doesn't matter. What you're doing doesn't matter. It's okay. You can, you know, God understands. You got this little thing worked out with God. He knows. He understands what's going on. It's okay to compromise. So what happens is we start compromising because we believe a lie and we think that it's not that big of a deal. God doesn't really care. And the problem is that God does care. And when we live the lie, then Satan turns it and he uses it against you. And he says, look at your life. You can't do this. You're a failure. You're a hypocrite. You say this and you do this. And what does it create? It creates discouragement. What do? They give up. They walk away. They think, oh, that's it. Oblivious to truth. Another thing we got to stop doing, every one of us, we got to stop participating in lies. It's not just speaking lies. Yes, that is a part of it. It's like when we speak lies that we become a voice piece and we become an agent of Satan himself, because we speak his language of lies. But it's really when we start buying into the lies and we start telling other people, yeah, you know what? God doesn't really care about that, when God does care about that. When we start saying things like, well, you know what? I think God just wants us to be happy. And God doesn't say, never say that. But we've bought into the lie, so now we start communicating the lie and we become these agents that speak falsehood. We have to stop participating in lies. And the last one is, we got to stop believing the lies. I don't know what lie it is that you might be believing. I don't know what lie it is that Satan has told you, that you're not worth anything, that you are not capable, you're not valuable, that you can't live this life, that you don't have time to read the Bible, that you're not smart enough to do this, that you're not courageous enough to do this. Whatever the lie might be, we've got to at some point take responsibility and stop believing the lie and start believing the truth. Because the truth is what gives you strength. It's what protects you. Jesus says that you are loved. When Satan says you're not, you have to use the truth against the lie. He will tell you that you are not forgiven. And you can take the word of God and say, Jesus says I am forgiven. That if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that he's raised from the dead, that I will be saved. Scripture says that God removes my sin as far as the east is from the west. When I remind Satan of the truth, it defeats his lies. See, when Jesus was praying to the Father in behalf of us, behalf of disciples, that they would receive his protection in this world, in this godless world that we are in, that's what he says. He says, sanctify them, Father, by the truth. Wash them, protect them, sanctify them by the truth. And then what does he say? Your word is truth. Listen, you know what? I don't get brownie points for telling you that you got to get into the Bible. I don't get brownie points for telling you you really need to read the word. I'm telling you, you've got to get into the word because it is essential. It is the truth that protects you. And if you refuse, if you buy the lie that say, oh, I can't, I don't have time for that, or I don't understand it when I read it, or it puts me to sleep, and whatever the lie is that you believe and you say, I can't, I don't, I won't. You've already given in to the lie and you've already bought it and you've already are unprotected. You have nothing to carry any essential for this battle that you're in. You are in it alone without protection. We're going to look into this more as we go through this series and as we deal with more of the armor of God. But I just want you to consider this. I want you to think about this. Paul tells people, he tells the church in Colossus, he says, clothe yourself with Christ. In other words, a robe, put like clothes, put him on. Take off the old self, the old you, and put on Jesus. That's what he's saying. And he's always pointing us to that. Here in Ephesians, he doesn't say put on Jesus. Here's what he says. He says put on the armor of God. But every piece of the armor identifies Jesus. Because maybe you might remember that Jesus said something that's really important here. He says, I am the way. I am what? I am the truth. I am the life. Put on Jesus. I want you to close your eyes if you would. There's some that maybe need to stop living a lie. You kind of brought compromise into your life and Satan's using it against you. Maybe you're participating in a lie, or maybe you just believed a lie. You might be here and you're not even a soldier. You've not crossed the line yet. If that's you, I want to encourage you, step across the line. Become an enemy with us. Because listen, if you're not an enemy, you're an ally. And if Satan doesn't have you in his crosshairs, he has you in his back pocket. Father, we come to you today just with hearts that want you. Hearts that are grateful because you have given to us all that we need for the battle that we're in. The war that we have find ourselves in is not a hopeless or a helpless war or battle. Father, you placed us here to fight for your kingdom, to fight for you, to fight in this corrupt world that we live in, to be a light, to be salt in this world. Father, I pray that you would help us. We raise our hands today. We go all in. We cross the line. We say we're in. And we understand that that makes us an enemy of Satan himself. But Father, today we put on truth. We wrap ourselves with truth, your word, that puts out all of the lies that we have been fed, that's caused us to look at ourselves as inferior. Father, today we hold on to your word. We hold on to your truth. And Father, I just pray for each person that's here that we would all experience greater faith and greater hope as we become agents of faith and hope because of your truth and its protection in our life. Father, protect us today. May your truth be the filter that we run everything through. May it provide protection that we need from the discouragement that the enemy wants to bring our way. May we not be oblivious to his schemes and tactics. But Father, I ask that you would help us to be alert, to be aware, to recognize what's going on, and to know that you're with us. We're not alone, and there's nothing to fear. In Jesus' name, amen.